Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon. Welcome to Barefoot is Legal Radio. I'm Katner Stone. I'm being joined by our hostesses with the mostess, Christy, Patty, Nicole, maybe even Sam. Get this in. All right. Get this party started.
Hello, hello.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, how you doing?
This is Christy, and I'm doing great. I wanted to go ahead.
No, go ahead, Christy. This is Patty.
Everyone, chime in.
Hi, everyone.
Okay. Hi, Patty. Hi, Katmere. And Nicole. I wanted to first say that due to the inspiration of a Hawaiian friend of mine who is very supportive in barefooting, I've going to be changing my name to the Hawaiian version of my name, which is Kiliki, and that's what I'm going to go by from now on. And I believe Nicole is going to start going by Nicola.
Nicola, and Chrissy, how do you pronounce that again?
Kiliki.
K-I-L-I-K-I.
Yep, Kiliki.
Kiliki, you are my Kiliki sister.
That's right. Has everybody had a great barefoot week?
Oh, my goodness, yes and no.
yes, and yes.
Well,
yes, great.
Yes, and yes. Well, I can first, say that, I've had a really good week today. Actually, we went to IHOP, which is a, national or, United States franchise, and we were very, very welcomed there. I will be posting some pictures after a while. Was able to take pictures with the manager, and they just absolutely love and support the barefoot community.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that was really cool. So everybody check out some of the photos and stuff like that after the show. We also have Brother B working the chat room. So if anybody wants to chat, call in, or maybe you're scared to get online, just go ahead and shoot him a chat, and we'll go ahead and answer any questions. And if he or I are not sure of them, we'll get one of y'all in there to help us out.
Yeah, I'm actually already in there. So, whatever we need to happen, we're going to make this happen. It looks like we've got a few people that are going to be joining us today. I believe, I know Nick Pierce is going to be with us. He's actually on the line waiting. And we're going to have Mr. Kevin. And we're going to have possibly Dean as well. I believe he said he would be calling in. And it would be great to hear from Sam Wise, of course. She's always has wonderful insight. So,
yes, she does.
Yeah, so let's get started.
Okay, so we're going to have Nick coming on.
Let's bring in Nick.
Hello.
Yeah. Hey. There we go.
Hi, Nick.
Welcome.
Hey, how you guys doing? Hey, thanks for having me again.
Hey, Nick, how are you doing today?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Doing awesome.
Definitely. All
right. So we're doing I guess we had a lot of legal questions out there. Do we have any callers on the line with some legal issues they're running into? Or?
We have no one chiming in yet. Just us.
All right.
Fab Five.
What kind of issues do we have going on right now? If the listeners are not if they're listening and they're not aware, I've been a full-time barefooter for about 15 years. I got rid of the last pair of anything that goes on my feet about 12 years ago. I'm the head of MP Media Group. I did a radio show called The Business of Arts, Music, and Entertainment for a few years. Where I just kind of worked on empowering artists in their entertainment business to advance their careers. I'm a victims legal advocate. And in addition to being a legal victims advocate, I've been standing up for the human rights that we as barefooters have now for quite some time. And I'm even the co-executive producer for the upcoming Barefoot documentary, slated for major network release at some point next year. So,
that's amazing.
I'm coming in loud and clear. I switched my microphones out from last week. I just hope I don't sound as empty.
No, it sounds good. We can hear you really good.
Okay. Well, great.
Yep.
So, I don't know. What do we want to try out here as far as any legal issues that we have going on or anything in general?
How about the first hurdle of approaching a business and you see their business logo and somewhere off to the side, there's the magical barrier sign of no shirt, no shoes, no service by order of the health department.
Okay. The a lot of those signs are disappearing more and more, and they don't. A lot of businesses feel. I mean, first of all, one of the most unwelcoming signs around. And there was a time when they used to have even dogs listed on there until the ADA got on them about service animals, and they make exceptions for that. And then they start making exceptions for people that just don't have legs because they can't wear shoes. Now, little by little, as the years go by, it was all a myth that started a long time ago in the anti-hippie movement. And the information like that's all over the place as far as, how unwelcoming they are to people that just were part of the anti-culture at the time back in the 70s. And it really came down to a lot of health departments and some of the agents that I've spoken with at different local health departments, county and state level, say, of course, that's not true. And there's nowhere in the health code does it actually say that, customers are, for the most part, even employees in most areas are required to even wear shoes or any kind of clothing unless they are actually preparing food. And then they have certain things where they have to wear, like nowadays it's gloves on anything that's prepared, ready to eat items, hair nets, hats, stuff like that in the kitchen area. But you go to a beach resort, you'll see servers walking around in flip-flops. There's no closed-toe shoes. OSHA's not sitting there at every beach resort and bikini bar around. So businesses are finally wisening up to this, and they're getting a new generation of employees in their culture that recognize that. But you also still have an older generation in the culture that has just been ridiculed for being barefoot. Now they just take it out on the customers, and it's, it's turning around little by little, and stores are really, if you look at some of the new constructions and stuff, there's very few stores that still put those signs up. But yet still, they do exist. And that's something that we're always pressing forward to get removed. And there was a post in the group, and I've always been saying this, the most dangerous thing you can do is when someone confronts you, say, well, you have no sign on the door, because that just leads to a whole can of worms that get opened, and then it's the most detrimental thing to the argument at that point.
Yeah, guaranteed backfire on you. Yeah.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, you don't have one. They're like, oh, good idea. Bye.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
They're not thinking at that moment that they're about to lose some income, some money.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're going to lose their income, and they're going to lose their revenue because of that. And what I do is when I do go into a store like that, and whether I've had a good experience or not, typically there's a survey at the bottom of the receipt in a lot of those stores. They always like to know how they're doing. And I know there was an issue with a chain of dollar stores recently, so I went in there for the past few weeks and shopped at one that was just kind of on the other side of town and around just to get a feel for it. And they still had these signs. They seemed to be very avid about them. However, I've never had any issues. And I always make it a point to fill in the surveys. And a lot of times I'll say, oh, I had a very pleasant experience. Yes, the staff was great. This one store, the air conditioner was broken for 3 days, and this lady was drenched behind the register but had a smile on her face. And even though the customers were complaining, she did a great job at helping people out. And it's funny because I always ask you, how often do you shop in our store? And I'll typically fill out never. But I had a great experience. And like, would you care to leave extra comments? And I'll tell them, you know, like I was on that side of town because I was waiting for my car to be fixed and I had some extra time and I needed to run, you know, some errands. I was pressed, you know, limited on time. And I decided to stop in. And I normally don't shop there because you people do not like us in your store, whether it's, you know, for a religious reason or, you know, a medical condition or a personal choice. We say me and many others, you know, me as well as many others in the area here, we don't normally shop in your store because of. And it's amazing how you get a call or they send you an email then. It's like, you want to provide information. Would you like someone to contact you? Because then there's another section that says, would you ever shop in our store again? Most likely not. You know, so giving them that feedback and it does get collected and it eventually does reach someone, that does want to reach out to you and communicate. And it's not like you're just calling and complaining. You're just throwing your thoughts out there. If it sticks, it sticks. And there are other cases where, you know, a major issue does happen and you want to go after that company and pursue it. But I like the little survey on the bottom of the receipt thing.
That's a great traction.
And it's amazing. I mean, sometimes it's like, you know, a customer service representative will call you that's just in a call center somewhere at the 800 number, and they're like, hi, we heard you had a bad experience. What happened? What can we do? It's like, well, you know, this is what you should do because we don't appreciate it in this community. And then it starts taking, then it gets escalated pretty quick from there. And a lot of times then it's still, you know.
Mm-hmm. That is true. That is true. And also, and I'm speaking on my behalf as far as using the correct terminology with people. You should only speak from what you actually know. If you have the facts, you can address them on the spot. If an employee does approach you, the customer, about these things, if you're ready to, you know, show them through your cell phone, or you have a printed copy of it, you can go ahead and do that. If the employee has not been educated as to how things run in their business, for example, a big one I'm always going to mention here is Walmart, because we have their official word from their corporate offices that Walmart is perfectly fine with customers walk in and shopping barefoot and conducting their business. The actual local level employees may not know this. It just may not even come up, you know, in their training or whatever, and they will approach you and they'll, you know, make a big deal out of it just because they simply don't know.
If you're at
a stalemate, we do have an 800 number. You can log into Facebook or on barefootislegal.org, and we do have links there, and there are people that can, you know, contact them on your behalf.
Yeah, and that's a great thing that you do there.
That way, you tripping all over yourself, like I would tend to.
Yeah.
I wanted to share something right quick, if I may. I had Corey Scott contact me about his experience in Raceway. He said at the time that he was barefoot, he was treated like a child and escorted out by the clerk who was on a power trip and was told the same thing about, you know, there could be broken glass on the floor and it's against all health codes and all that good stuff. Well, we know that there's no health codes, you know, keeping us from going into these stores barefoot, and the thing of it is people don't know that. But he did contact them. He wrote them a letter and stayed in contact with them about, you know, why would, you know, you discriminate shoppers that are barefoot. And I think this one turned into a great success story, honestly, because he gets a reply back and says, it says that they appreciate him bringing this to their attention and they are sorry to hear about his recent experience and they will make sure that it gets addressed appropriately by the correct personnel so that everybody can be educated in this. and they don't want to, you know, they don't want to lose his business. They don't want to lose anyone else's business. And I think this was wonderful, a great step in the right direction, because he got a great response from the company.
Yeah, that's great when stuff works out that way. And it's amazing how many times employees will give a customer an issue and then later on it backfires on them, because there really is no policy. A lot of businesses really don't. And you're right, the lower level employee doesn't know that. And going back to what you were saying as well, with their training, and I've had employees approach me and they say, well, in training, I was told, who trained you? Are they here now? Well, my manager told me. Okay, let's talk to them. And the manager is blindsided by this and couldn't believe that an employee actually escalated something to this level when they're in the middle of the busiest time of the day or something like that, you know. And going into these situations where there is a confrontation, of course, you don't walk into a business expecting a confrontation, but as Barefooters, you're always kind of aware that, okay, this could happen. And everybody always kind of seems to, like, when you read the posts and you read the stories, that's like, oh, and I saw an employee looking at me down the aisle and started walking to me. And I was surprised when they said, you look very comfortable. I wish I could do that. You know, about 95% of them always turn out really good. And they're nice stories to read and very encouraging to people just getting into the barefoot lifestyle.
Yeah,
but sometimes
definitely.
It's those 5% that are just so negative or burning on someone. The most important thing, though, in a confrontation is to really find out what the main objection is. And I read a lot of stories and I hear a lot of stories where they, you know, they say, well, you can't be in here barefoot. And they start taking out the health department letters and they start taking out this and they start taking out that. Find out what they're holding against you before you fire back. Because if you give them all the ammunition, then they'll just turn around against you and say, well, we don't have time to read this now, or blah, blah, blah. That's not what I'm trying to say. And you're not understanding what I'm saying. You can leave. So finding out what the main objection is first and let them put it on the table, and then just squashing that objection typically ends it within that first 45 seconds to a minute. And there's different ways of going about it. And sometimes I just look at them. If they sound really ridiculous when saying it, I like to just say, do you believe in unicorns too? Like, it's like, I mean, I had someone come up to me in an aisle. I mean, I had someone come up to me in an aisle and just look at me, and in a statement stating, he pointed at me and said, shoes. And I said, no, tennis balls. Where are they? I'm looking for tennis balls. He goes, like as if it was a question. Like, it's like if you just completely turn that around. And he just goes, oh, you're on the wrong side. It's all the way over, you know, it's like 2 aisles over that way on the other side. I said, oh, okay, thanks. It's like he didn't realize that I just totally, like, took that whole thing and just spun it right around, and he answered my question and helped me the way he's supposed to, because they're programmed to do that. They go to training to help customers. So it's – when you use that and it's so reinforced in their head, it takes away that old reinforcement that they had that, you know, oh, shoes are required and you need to have shoes. And everybody knows they're not. You know, just different situations. And of course, knowing the law, you know, it
right.
Sometimes comes back to, you know, they don't, if you're well-prepared and you're empowered and you can, and you have that in your arsenal. I remember someone in the group in Barefoot is Legal mentioned something about the little black law book or something that a lawyer pulled out to back this customer up that was, you know, being accosted by a clerk for being barefoot in one of the stores. And there was a podiatrist there to back him up too. So it's almost like the whole defense, it's like the whole brigade was there to charge the
front
line.
That was a great story.
That was a great story. And everybody's wondering what that little black book is. Well, you know, I can't really say for sure. I know that many law students, especially when they specialize in a particular facet of law, in the old days before eventually the Palm Pilot came around and now eventually smartphones and tablets, that there was a lot of books that, you know, based on what their specialty was and different references, case law and stuff like that, that lawyers would carry around almost like the old phone book with all your phone numbers and addresses in it for the family and friends. So I know there was a lot of questions as to what that was and all that. And I have a lot of friends and acquaintances that are attorneys in the legal field and stuff, just because of my background and what I do. And you know, I said, so do you still carry on a little black book? He goes, actually, yeah, my partner still does in the firm that he works at. And I said, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. What is it? He goes, hey, it's a bunch of notes and stuff like that, and just stuff that he runs into often, you know, that he just, you know, can cite, and it's just referencing case law and stuff.
Well,
so
I was asked if I knew where one could obtain a book like that, and I asked my girlfriend, asked her, and because she's a police officer, and we have this place here called Maneuvers. It's for, you know, like military and police officer
uniform
equipment,
supplies and stuff.
And, yeah, and she said that those little books are there. Now, I don't know if you have one of those in your town, because Columbus is a pretty much a military town, and we have several of these kind of places. But anywhere that police gear and all that is sold, you should be able to find one of those little books like that.
Yeah, and that's possible, because it could just be the local statutes, the revised code of that state.
Right.
And it's very common where there is a book that you'll see it in the front of police cruisers and stuff. If you have a friend it's in the law enforcement like you do, or if you're unfortunate enough to sit in the back of a cop car, you'll see a book that's on their front seat. And you know, sometimes if they're writing a ticket, they'll open up a book just to see, wait a minute, you know, where does this fall? Is this like reckless or unsafe driving? Sometimes there's always that gray area, and they want to make sure they issue the ticket right. And it's not uncommon for them to have a book or a cheat sheet or something. And a lot of those are the actual revised codes for the state, local traffic ordinances and stuff that are also published locally, because those also may vary depending on county and state and, you know, municipality. So if you do have someone that just joined traffic and they were working parking or something like that, or accidents, and now they're on traffic, then they're, you know, it's, you know, they'll always have those books on hand in case they have to write a ticket, or if a traffic cop is working an accident, then they have a book with reference for accident citation, stuff like that. So,
right.
Yeah, it is pretty common because they do cross over, especially in major cities. You know, you may have a police force of 100, but they don't all do what all the cops do. So
right.
One is strictly like night patrol. Another one is, you know, response to more domestic violence and stuff like that. That's why it's like sometimes you could see a cop sitting there. Someone goes like 100 miles an hour by. I'm like, what are you doing? It's like, I'm filling out a report for a domestic violence. I don't know what the hell's going on over there. You know, it's like, it's not my job. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Unless they witness a crime being committed, then, of course, they, you know, everybody's, you know, assigned to that. But, you know. Typically, they're not sitting there running radar because they're not traffic. They're, you know, patrol or something like that. So.
All right. And while we still have you, Nick, I want to give the guests our number. And if they have any legal questions, I want them to push one so that we can get them in to ask you a question. Is that all right with you?
Oh, of course. Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead and ask away.
All right, guests, our number is 347-324-3704. And if you would like to ask Nick a question, you just call that number and push 1 when it prompts you to, and we'll be glad to let you have Nick answer your question. So we'll give that a
ready for
few
your
minutes.
Calls. You got any legal issues or anything? And if you like, I'll stick around for the broadcast if you'd like.
Yeah,
I do know there was a couple things as far as like liability that was mentioned in some of the discussions. There was a couple
that
had some questions about that.
There's a liability issue.
Yeah.
Nick,
what does that even mean?
Hey, Nick.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hey, this is Patty Pinsel. You're gonna have to excuse my voice. I'm just now getting over laryngitis. I had no voice as of yesterday, and I finally got enough to where I can kind of talk. But I wanted to put it out there as far, you know, like myself, as everybody knows, I go around, you know, barefoot everywhere. And just last week and now yesterday, a local, and I'm not going to mention the name because I kind of put it out there, and it almost caused an individual to lose their job. And I, by all means, I don't want anybody, you know, going out and trying, you know, pushing their weight or what have you and cause, you know, an employee to lose their job. But this local place I frequent once a week. And they always have gotten a really good, you know, kick out of me, you know, in there with no shoes, let me take pictures, so on and so forth. I pull up yesterday and I met at my vehicle and said, I'm sorry, you can't come in our restaurant anymore unless you have shoes on.
And oh, wow.
What? What? I come here once a week. And as I'm approaching, they see my car and I wasn't even out of my car yet. And they said, well, you know what? You're not allowed in here anymore. The owner said that if you come in here without shoes on, the state's going to come in and shut them down.
You got to love that line.
Wow. That's, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now, but so, and I tried to explain to them that, you know, they can refuse me at, you know, if that's what they want to do. I said, but don't start throwing in, you know, state and health codes and OSHA, just like pretty much everything that you just covered. Those are questions I'm asked on an everyday basis. And now here, you know, before the show, you know, me and my brother, Brian, that helps on the show, and also my sister-in-law, Danny. We went to IHOP. I walked in there bebopping, you know, and I got compliments from the managers and stuff. Oh, my goodness, where did you get that foot jewelry? I said, well, I make it. I'll make you one. And we started chit-chatting and stuff like that. And, you know, they're a big, huge franchise.
Oh, yeah.
They actually welcomed me. They were just all their several employees were up there wanting to learn more about the Barefoot community. I, you know, invited them to listen to the show when they, you know, would not be working on a Saturday, or they could actually, you know, go back online and listen to the audio files. So
yeah,
I just urge people to, you know, if they're having issues and stuff, yeah, most definitely fill out the complaint at barefootlegal.org and Nick's gonna go after them.
Yeah, and that's great that we do that. I'm sorry that happened. And you know, I mean, it's amazing what people think is going to happen to them because they're afraid of seeing someone's toenail. I mean, it's one of those things. You just look at them with the face of stupid and you're just like, first of all, don't ever approach me at my car because you don't know what's going to happen to you. I am one of those who approach me at my car. It could be dangerous. For an employee, if I don't know you and you're approaching my car, it's not going to go well.
Watch out.
You know, you never know. You could. I mean, that person could have been pepper sprayed. You know, if they startled you, I mean, they could. You know, if you're a 10th degree judo master, you don't know. You know, first of all, the company should really get after that employee for, first of all, going out in the parking lot and addressing a customer before they even got out of the car, because that's a liability issue for the company.
Yeah,
because it's a safety issue for the employee.
I went from Patty Peaceful to Patty Enraged.
Patty Godzilla.
I went from peaceful to crazy without no notice.
And
you would have had every right.
I was just about to say it's a good thing for them that they had Patty Peaceful. Otherwise, you know, they might have got something else. But Patty Peaceful, I don't guess you can be peaceful all the time.
I didn't even know. I was flabbergasted. I'm like, are you kidding me? Really? I mean, I wanted
especially
to go up in there and say, let me tell you. But I just drove off and I said, you know what?
Yeah. Sometimes you take the deep breath, count to 10, and just be glad that person's still standing next to your car and you didn't do anything to land you in jail. You know, but then at the same time, I would definitely address the business, let them know that the conduct of their employee is not becoming of that business, you know, according to the guidelines. Employees should not be going out to customers' cars and harassing them, number one, before they've even stepped foot in the building. Address maybe that, you know, that employee does not know who they're walking up to. And, you know, maybe in this instance they did, but that'll definitely give some backlash on them and definitely teach them to treat a potential customer, no matter who it is, especially a regular customer such as yourself, and remind them that, you know, if you could file a complaint with the Attorney General And it's not that they're going to be closed down. It's if they continue this behavior, they're going to be fined a minimum, you know, anywhere from $55,000 for the first offense to a max of $150,000.
Oh,
see
wow.
if they can afford that one. Yeah. And that'll fall
and,
under
the... And nobody wants to go through that hoopla at all. Nobody wants
oh, no,
to go through that.
No, not at all.
And
not at all.
They just want to relax. And that's if there's anybody who is, you know, first or, you know, just recently aware of barefootislegal.org and this radio show, again, the whole legality issue is based off of very basic things. First and foremost, so there's like a noise in the background. first and foremost, there's the health facts concerning the human foot and all its moving parts and actually being allowed to use them. Will lead into other realms such as spirituality, you know, religion. Then that leads into you know, functionality. You know, shoes are tools like sunglasses and hats. You know, you may need the protection depending on the environment. And quite frankly, your local mall is not such a place. And then like the last thing is, you know, concerning shoes and hats and sunglasses is basically the vanity part. You know, maybe you want to wear them as a vanity, maybe you don't. Overall speaking, speaking about the human body, it's a health issue. And is it legal for you to protect your own health? Yeah, absolutely. So here we are, looking out for you.
Yeah, yeah, it's great that we're doing that. And I just threw the actual statute in the chat if anybody's on and wants to see it. And that's the U.S. Code, not a local. That's overall in the whole country. And that's from the U.S. Department of Justice. And that'll touch base on what the penalties are. As far as where'd it go? I don't know if all that posted. I don't think it gives me enough room in that. But I'll go ahead and break it up.
I see.
I didn't find it.
I will copy and paste it, or you can put it into a document format, and then we can upload it to both the barefootislegal.org website and our files tab at Facebook.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I can what I'll do is I'll go ahead and get that whole file if you'd like, because I do have a printout from the site. I'm just trying to get it
That'd
in here
phenomenal.
While we're talking.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be great. That would be great because you know, people just they simply don't know.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
And what do we tell people that, you know, they're like, you're barefoot, you could possibly get cut by glass. Does the barefooter not take the responsibility of
they do.
Of going barefoot?
The barefooter
is that, I mean, one of the things you can say to them is that it's my choice to go barefoot. So therefore, I waive any liability that, or harm that may happen to me in your store because I chose to go barefoot. Just like these ladies that wear these, you know, 4 or 5 inch stilettos, if they start walking like Bambi in the store and bust their ass, it's their fault because they wore those crazy shoes.
Yeah. Flip flops that get stuck in the escalators.
Okay, check this out. When I used to wear those 5-inch, well, I really didn't do 5-inch stiletto heels. I was actually walking to a fashion show. I was doing a red carpet event, and my stinking heel broke on the shoe. And what's Miss Patty do? Face plant first. Darn, scraped up all
my
arms, my legs, and I was just, so, no.
Oh, painful.
yeah, just imagine and trying to do a red carpet event. It was just, not cool.
Oh, boy.
On a legal aspect. Nick, could I ask a question? This is Nicola. I was wondering if you wanted to talk at all about the Barefoot documentary that is posted in Barefoot Legal.
Yeah.
You want to talk about that a little bit?
Oh, yeah, yeah, I'd love to. I'd like to address the one question, though, first real quick, as far as, like, if you sue a business or who's responsible and all that. In legal, the only way you can really sue a business owner for any injury is in the law, there's four elements that need to be established. And it goes before a judge or magistrate based on the magnitude of the claim. And all four elements have to be established in a hearing. And one of them is the duty of care to the customer. And that's where, you know, the business is saying, okay, we do everything we can to make sure that we have a safe environment for our customers. The other part is like negligence or breach of that duty. And that's the second one, where a business owner can clearly be found negligent for any injury that may happen to you. And that's very rare that you would win on something like that, especially if you're barefoot, because you really do take it upon yourself, just like you take it upon yourself to wear high heels or flip-flops. If you get injured in the store, and there's a nice part about that in what I just said, which I'll go back to in a moment, where if you get hurt in their store and you can prove that they were negligent in regards to your safety, that's a second element that needs to be proved. The other thing is a link between the breach and the harm. So if they breached it and you were harmed, you have to establish that link. And that's not always easy to do either. And then the actual harm and damage itself. So in other words, if you cut your finger on a sharp piece of the shelf, well, yeah, you can't sue for like $1 million because the Band-Aid only cost whatever, even if you got a tetanus shot, which most likely you wouldn't need. You know, I mean, the list goes on, you know. So it's really not going to happen. That, and as a barefooter, you assume your own risk. It's you barefoot at your own risk. And very rarely would a barefooter actually sue a business because they hurt their foot from being barefoot in the business. Now, as far as a casual link and the negligence, if the business requires you or makes you do something that you would not normally do, they then are responsible. So in other words, if you have a condition where you don't wear shoes or from by choice for certain, you know, for however long you've been barefoot, and all of a sudden they make you wear something that you normally do not wear and you injure yourself, they've now assumed the duty of care and that and have now, you know, established negligence. And I've heard it argued before, well, then that's like saying if you jump off the bridge and you can buy groceries. Yeah, but someone is going to take a chance to get groceries because they need to eat. So if they're not going to starve, they're going to risk whatever they can to feed them and their families. And if a business owner is making them do something that they would not normally do and they injure themselves, the business is negligent because there is a breach of that duty. So that's a very interesting.
It's a very fine line because you wouldn't you have to have the like a health card of some sort? I'm not sure what the terminology is because I don't follow those parameters.
No, you do not. In fact, now the way the laws are revised, actually about maybe I'm going back maybe 8 years, if I'm correct, but don't hold me to that. With the new HIPAA laws, you do not need to prove your medical condition to anybody. So there's patient privacy acts and all that that are now in place. And sometimes you will hear businesses say, well, do you have your disability card? No, you only get a disability card when you're collecting Social Security or SSI disability benefits from the government. So when you explain that I don't need government assistance because of my disability, I'm perfectly fine, you know, as long as I'm able to do this. You're not sitting there collecting government money. You don't have a government-issued Social Security card. And even then, the Social Security card doesn't state what the disability is. It just says that you're on disability. So, you know, the card thing really doesn't help anything. And sometimes explaining that to a clerk that says, oh, I'm sorry, do you have a disability card? Or sometimes a bus driver will say, oh, you can't be on the bus, I have a disability. Let me see your card. I don't collect government benefits for my disability, so I don't have a card. Is typically like bus drivers sometimes will say, oh, that's good for you. You know, I'm glad I'm not paying your way. You know, it's like, you know, and a lot of people may feel that way. So they don't, you know, having a disability card and all that. Now, I do have a note from my doctor from when I got really messed up my neck and all that. But I rarely show it. And the only reason why I have it was because of someone that I know was just kind of curious to see, what do the doctor's notes say that says you can't wear shoes? And I actually had it in my pocket, and I have a little plastic bag that I carry around with me with my local health department, you know, different codes and stuff like that cited, kind of like almost a little black book that the lawyer carries around.
Hey, Nick, I really don't want to have to cut us short, but we really need to go to commercial, and we have some callers like Kevin and Dean that is able actually to get a hold of Dean earlier and ask him and beg him, please, please, please come on our show. We really want to hear from you. So, I really apologize because we could sit here actually for the whole entire show and, you know, learn so much information and really get that out there to our listeners, especially folks that are not educated and stuff with all the local and state laws. So if we could just go to a quick commercial and then we can get our other callers on there. And if there's any questions, we can actually, you know, point them in your direction and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and if you want, I'll stick around.
That's cool. I mean, you're just awesome. Like I said, I could sit and listen to you for hours.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, all right. And we definitely appreciate you. And, yes, please do stick around. We'd love to have you.
Oh, great. Yeah, and, if anybody calls in, let me know. And
all right.
I'll mute myself out. We can go to commercial. And thanks for having me if I don't get back on.
Hey, thanks for being on. And thank you for doing what you do for, barefootlegal.org.
Well, I really appreciate what you guys do in spreading that message and having a platform for this information to get across on. So thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So,
and we will talk
stick around
to you soon.
And everyone stick around. We will be right back.
There are reports that say sitting all day at work is just as unhealthy as smoking. There is a hot new health trend called earthing, where you leave your shoes at home and you go out for a walk in the park. However, most of us work all day. This is where Serenity Rug comes in. Serenity Rug is meant to let you feel the grass beneath your feet while you have to stay inside and get your work done. This revolutionary footrest encourages movement and blood flow so you can feel better while working. Relieves muscle tension, improves circulation at your own desk while you're working. Anyway, please check out SerenityRug.com. That's SerenityRug.com. Did you guys know that there's no such state in the United States that requires shoes to be worn while driving a car? Did you also know that there is no such health code requiring shoes to be worn while going into a store or eating in a restaurant? And the thing is that most people think there are laws in relation to this, and this is about freedom. This is about your personal freedoms on what you choose to wear or not wear in this case. So Sierra Larson hosts the Barefoot is Legal show, where you can learn about health benefits, laws that don't exist, as well as more activism in relation to this. And most people in the U.S. are brainwashed. They think there's a requirement to wear shoes to do anything outside. So the whole United States wears flip-flops because they want to not wear shoes, but they think it's against the law. So Sierra Larson will teach you more on that. The show is on Saturdays, Barefoot is Legal Radio. That's 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific. That's 1:30 to 3 Eastern, only on Freedomizer Radio.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio. We're freedomizers. Freedomize freedom.
All right. Welcome back, folks.
Hello, everybody.
Welcome
back. Hello, hello. And who's going to be our next caller? Is it Kevin?
He had a little bit of a story he wanted to finish up because he had to cut it short last week.
We do apologize, Kevin, for that.
All right. And here we have Second Class Petty Officer Kevin.
Okay,
hello, Kevin. How are you doing?
Well, I'm fine. That's some introduction.
Yes, for hazard.
Well, you know, we really, really super appreciate you know, your dedication not only to the barefoot community, but most of all, your dedication and stuff for serving our country. I appreciate you so that I can lay my head down every evening and go to sleep. There's folks like you risking your life and stuff. So I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you. You know, in matter of fact, you know, it's still amazing how some people, like, if I go somewhere in my uniform, some people still tell me, thank you for your service. And be like, okay, you're welcome. You know, even though all I do is cook for the crew, that's just about it. But, you know, you're welcome.
Well, hey,
yeah,
you know what? It doesn't mean that you cook. You know, at least you know they're going out there with some full bellies.
That's true.
That's right.
Come on now.
Tough out.
I was just going to kind of pick up from last week's show for you. You were telling us you were, I think it was in like the Dollar General, and you decided at that point to take off your shoes in the shoe department up there, so people really didn't notice that you were barefoot.
Yeah, well, this was in Georgia, actually in a city called Riceboro. If anybody, I know you probably never heard of such city, but that's like the country. So I went to the nearest Dollar General, and I went to the the shoe department. Now, of course, at this time I had my flip flops. So I just took them off, stuck them in my back pocket. You know, and just pretended like I was shopping for shoes, you know, and I know like one or two employees passed by and didn't say a word. You know, I guess it's because, you know, it is the shoe department. You got to take off your shoes and try on some other shoes.
Right,
you know,
right.
Now, of course, you know, at that time, and I'm still a newbie, you know, I wasn't thinking about the no shirt, no shoes sign or shoes are required. For sure, she's a cry. I wasn't even thinking about that, you know, because I was just trying to, you know, still get over my nerves and stuff like that. So sometime after that, I went to another Dollar General in Jacksonville, Florida, where I had to gather my nerves and go inside, you know, and just like. You know, I just wanted to get a bottle of water, and that's it. So when I got to the line, one of the employees, I'm not sure if he was a manager or not, he told me, you can't be here with no shoes on. It has to do with OSHA, and it's worldwide, it's nationwide, he said. So I'm like, you want me to leave? And he's like, no, you're already in the line now. Go ahead and make your purchase. I'm like, okay. Now, at this time, you know, I'm still researching the information. I wasn't prepared, you know, to do battle, so to speak. You know,
so I just let that one go,
you know. Moving forward, so I decided one day to back in Virginia Beach, decided to go to the mall. One Saturday I was off, so I'm like, let me just go ahead and go to the mall and stuff like that. So once again I had to gather my nerves because I'm not used to going into any building with no shoes on. So I just went inside the mall, you know, nice and easy, just, you know, acting normal, pretending like everything is everything, you know. And I went to as many department stores as I can, and for whatever reason I'm walking through the shoe section or whatnot, you know, and as I'm browsing, it's taking my mind off my barefooting, and it's like, it was really nice to feel all the different textures that the mall has, you know. So I got into Dillard's. I'm sure you heard of Dillard's, right?
Yes, sir.
So I was in the, I think I wandered past the shoe section. And one of the employees, I'm not sure if she was a manager or not, she probably was, you know, talking about, you know, you can't, you know, be here with no shoes on. I'm like, is it against company policy? And she's like, yes, because it's dangerous. And she pulled one of those tiny silver pins out the carpet. Then she go ask me, well, would you like to buy a pair of shoes? I'm like, nah, I'm good, and I just left. You know,
yeah.
You see Walmart, once again, pretty much the same thing. I had to gather my nerves, went inside, you know, no issues. Target, same thing, went inside, no issues at all. So basically it's like the less people say something to me, the more confident that I'm actually feeling at this point. And it starts to feel good.
Yeah, I heard it too. I'm glad you actually said something, because now I know how sensitive my mic is.
Simon, was that you? Are you being a rebel now?
Yeah, it's actually illegal here in my county to stick your feet out your own window of your house. No, I'm kidding. I have no idea what's going on. I'm close to the street.
I was like, oh my god.
Public indecency laws. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Thank you so much, Kevin, for sharing your story with us. And Patty and I were noticing there's been a lot of posts this week about celebrities being barefoot in public. Some of the reviews were, ooh, gross. And that and the other, I mean, there's been a lot of links that I've noticed this week about celebrities being barefoot in public. Justin Bieber was one of them in Boston.
Mm-hmm. Britney Spears.
And a lot of our celebrities are actually, their children are starting to actually go barefoot as well. I don't know if somebody had seen on just my Facebook alone, my little niece that is, I think she's either 5 or 6, and she went into the bank and she told my sister and them, I'm not wearing shoes. And she's like, well, why aren't you wearing shoes? Because my Aunt Patty doesn't wear shoes, so therefore I'm not wearing shoes.
That's great.
Yeah. Wow.
You go, girl.
I don't know if anybody's seen the picture of Julia Roberts with barefoot on the red carpet.
Yes, red carpet. That was a great one.
She does that often.
You know, you got a lot of them, like Ryan Gosling. He quotes, you know, he'd rather work out barefooted and stuff like that because he likes the feeling of, you know, the earth or everything, and it actually makes him feel more grounded to the earth. He gets a much better workout. You got Prince Harry. I mean, he's been photographed over there in Africa and stuff playing soccer barefoot.
You know, here's another thing. This happened. I read this 2 weeks ago. Some female, she goes to college barefoot, and one of her professors gave her a lower grade because she refused to wear shoes, and she asked why, and the professor was like, it has something to do with her. It violates the respect clause in her syllabus. Okay,
so she
complained to the dean about it, and the dean was like, oh, you're not breaking no policy. You got your grade back. I mean, think about it. Violates the respect clause in her syllabus.
Who gave you the power?
So outrageous.
Yeah, well, I know that when I was in college that, you know, we did have to, you know, dress a certain way or whatever as far as it was mainly not the respect part, but your dress code was mainly part of professionalism. What is the other word? I'm trying to think of the other word. But it was, you know, like in certain classes, if you were business casual, you would get extra points for presenting yourself in a professional way. So it was
right,
kind of
the work uniform,
so,
per se.
Yeah.
Okay, so,
yeah,
like,
so I guess with her, it was more of a taking away points because she didn't do the extra credit part, you know, I mean, it's, that should not have affected her grade at all. I mean, if she was there, she was present for the classes, she did her work, she did everything else, it shouldn't have mattered if she didn't have her shoes on, especially if it's not a school policy. And I feel like that's another success story. Even, and I hate it that, you know, she had to go through stuff like, you know, had to go through that, just like with Corey. At the Speedway being escorted out, but in the end result, it all turned out really well because it went through the they went through the proper channels in order to get this recognized about how ridiculous it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, also reminds me of the time I went to another mall here in VA Beach just to check it out. You know, I'm on the phone talking to a friend, and a female security guard comes up to me talking about, you can't be in here barefoot. It's mall policy or whatnot. So I'm like, okay, whatever. So I'll go out to my car, and I'm not I don't remember if I had a pair of shoes or not in my car. I probably did. So this security guard was actually following me out.
What?
Just to make sure that she was following me out to make sure that I left. I'm like, wow, is it that serious?
Wow. Well, you know, people got to have things to do at work. You know, you don't want to be too bored.
Yeah, so I also thought about this on a real, real serious tip. Okay, people can get a license to have a gun, right? So you can legally carry a gun, you know, into a business because you have a license, but yet people want to get kicked out for being barefoot. So which is more dangerous? I mean, really, which is more dangerous?
Right. Well, this is my thing right here, you know, with the celebrities going barefoot versus just the common people. I mean, let's say I was Julia Roberts or, you know, Matthew McConaughey and stuff like that. If I was to walk into the exact same place that I did yesterday and I was somebody that, you know, was famous, oh, my goodness, they're going to let me right in there because I've got a pocket full of money and I'm a celebrity and so on and so forth. So, you know, it's all about status and stuff like that, too, I see.
Yeah, you know, here's another thought that nobody really thinks about. Barefooters are always getting the extreme, rude, and disrespectful treatment, right? And
yeah.
that when you do something or say something to somebody, you never think about how would you feel if that person did or said something to you. So in other words, it's like if I'm at freaking Walmart and this employee was and his manager was totally rude to me and this and that and saying this and that, you know, it's like how would he feel if I treated him that way?
Like if he wasn't wearing
a
hat, everybody wears hats and you weren't wearing a hat or you were wearing a hat. You know what I mean? People are different.
Yeah, you're supposed to treat people the way that you want to be treated. So, you know, like I just said, so if I'm that manager, you know, like how would he feel if I treated him the same way he treated me? You know, he wouldn't like it too much.
yeah, you're right. Does anybody know of any other, like, college campuses or, you know, universities, whether it be universities or tech schools or anything like that, if there's you must wear shoes regulations? I know in certain programs, of course, it is where you definitely have to because of the environment, you know, like a hostile environment. You can't just go in there barefoot if you are affiliated with the school or if you are an employee.
Right.
And
well,
but I don't know about the campuses, you know, how open they are to it. And I have a friend of mine, Mr. Lou Sterling, who has been trying to find out this information for us, and he's not getting any responses. And it's been over a month. And he's been emailing admission offices and trying to get some answers and some insight, and he's getting nothing. Does anybody have any suggestions on how we maybe could boost the productivity of some results on this?
We can just have it on the website or on Facebook for all our listeners. Just pass along the information. And we'll compile that list. That's a start.
Exactly. Well, you know what, y'all? Let's go to break and with all that and kind of think about that. And when we come back, let's go ahead and get Dean on. I mean, he's been so gracious to actually come on our show, and we really look forward to talking to him. And Christy, he was telling me in my messenger, he said, oh, my goodness, I got to hear her voice.
He's the one that told me my name is Kiliki, and he was so thrilled that I decided to use that as my name. But we will gather back after commercial and do the last part of the show.
Right, and anybody, if you want to call in, we'll give you that number when we get back from break. And also, we have Brian working on the chat. So again, just keep on firing him any questions, and we'll get right back to you. And we're going to go ahead and go to break.
Did you see this? The EPA wants to regulate water in our ditches now. Our ditches are dry most of the time. There's hardly ever any water in them. That's enough.
Government anyway. EPA, it's time to ditch the rule. Ditchtherule.fb.org. This is a message from the Missouri Farm Bureau. Contact them at 573-893-1558.
And welcome back to BarefootIsLegal.org, our radio show here on FreedomizerRadio.com, and also our other feed on BlogTalkRadio.com. Thank you very much.
Yes, and we are looking forward to speaking with one of our good friends and supporters, and his name is Dean. Dean, welcome to the show.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. And it's only 8:35 here in Hawaii.
Wow, I know we were talking about that not too long ago, how the snow and all that, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And you're in Hawaii, right? So
right. You've
got beautiful weather all the time.
Pretty much, although we're expecting Tropical Storm Darby in the next 24 hours. So right now it's a bit overcast and cloudy right here in Hawaii right now. And it's a little bit wet, I guess, because of the effects of the upcoming tropical storm.
Ah, okay. Well, we are excited to have you join us in our show. And I'm super excited about, you know, using my Hawaiian name. Can I hear you say it?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I guess your Hawaiian names, for Christy, it's Kiliki. For Nicole, it will be Nicola.
And love it.
For Patty, it would be Paki.
Paki.
That's cool.
Hawaiian.
That is cool.
It is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So, is going barefoot pretty normal in places, or is it like here where you get really weird looks if you go out in public without your shoes on, or is it just pretty commonplace in Hawaii?
Yeah, well, Hawaii, it's barefoot friendly, I guess, because of the summer weather that we have year round. It's barefoot friendly. And very rare occasions do you see barefooters in public. They do exist, but it's very rare, and it's so ironic that as barefoot-friendly as Hawaii is, yet people don't take advantage of the luxury or the opportunity to do so. You will see occasional barefooters here and there, but it's just ironic that, you know, it's like a scarcity. I don't know. I can't figure out why people don't take advantage of the opportunity.
Oh, well, because they don't know what they're missing. That's what it is.
Yeah, they don't know what they're missing. You know, interestingly enough, back in 2012, there was a set of there was this young couple and their infant daughter. They now have an infant son, so you know, I guess 4 years. Yeah, about 4 years have passed. And what happened was that when they came to introduce themselves, of course, I'm washing my car. I'm shoeless and shirtless washing my car. But they came to, you know, introduce husband and wife. And, you know, I wondered, after that introduction, it's the wife. That it's like every time I have seen her leave their house, she's always barefoot. I mean, I wonder, you know, when she first introduced herself to me, just across the street, she wears her slippers or sandals. And so I thought to myself, I wonder if I had an impact on that, being that now every time I see her leave the house, she's always barefoot.
Yay.
Well, that's awesome. You must have had an impact.
Mm-hmm. Because I've never, and you know, what happened was that later that same year, Hawaii Five-O used their home as the backdrop to film an episode. And so what happened was that I actually got a chance to sit down and talk to her. And I said, hey, by the way, I notice you're always going barefoot now these days. Hey, I'm proud of you. You know, I mean, hey, you know, some big thumbs up on that. She goes, oh, I love to go barefoot. So, all right. I mean, evidently, without me even trying, unbeknownst to me, I didn't realize that she was maybe a barefooter by nature without me knowing.
We all are.
We all are.
Who isn't,
yeah,
really?
And the other thing is that, really, I mean, the story I really wanted to share was my barefooting actually goes dates back to when I was 5 years old. And before my kindergarten year in school, I went to a private school for kindergarten, and they require a physical examination. So my mom had to take me in there to get this physical exam, and I had a, what we call an outward walking gait. My walking gait was a bit irregular, where instead of being perfectly straight, or how people are usually pigeon-toed, mine was the reverse order. I was always throwing outward. And my mom asked the pediatrician, you know, I'm a little bit concerned about his walking gait, and, you know, are special corrective shoes needed? Well, you know, that was an easy answer that we got from my pediatrician. He said, no, there's no corrective shoes needed. Take your shoes off and go barefoot. I never forgot I can still hear his voice, you know, that many years later, hearing, don't wear shoes, go barefoot.
Oh, that's awesome. Because I know most of the time with, foot problems and, gait issues, they like to put you in some super uncomfortable shoes. They did that to my poor little sister because she was having issues as a baby. And, I mean, it did, I guess, flex her foot to the proper, so her tendons could stretch in her leg, if that makes any sense. Because she wasn't really able to stand up with her legs straight because her tendons were too tight. So what did they do? They gave her special shoes. Me, I don't understand how that fixed it, but I'm thinking that there could have definitely been a much more comfortable fix for that.
Because maybe it's a generational thing too, because at least my pediatrician believed in bare feet. He did not believe in footwear for children. That he even had a son and a daughter. He had two children of his own. And he would show me pictures when I would go for my doctor visits in his office. His kids were always barefoot. I never saw one picture of them wearing shoes. I mean, he practiced what he preached. And then his son, Jackie, who was a little bit older than I was, I remember once I ran into he and Jackie in one of those stores that's similar to like a Walmart or Kmart. And I remember running into him, and he says, oh, I want you to meet my son, Jackie. And Jackie was like 4 years older than I was. And sure enough, it's a department store. There Jackie is, T-shirt, blue jeans, and bare feet. Ah, bingo. So, hey, even as to his children, he practiced what he preached.
That's excellent.
That is. And anyway, so that was a no-brainer because my mom was so trying to be so meticulous. When we went to that doctor appointment for my physical exam, she had me in shoes and socks. So, all right. What happened was that we had to wait for my grandmother to pick us up from the doctors. And so what happened was that mom tells me, all right, don't say anything and see if grandma notices you're barefoot. All right, so I didn't say anything. All right, grandma picks us up. My brother and sister are in the back seat of the car. We're going off to the drive-in for hamburgers. And nothing was said. Grandma, mom, brother, and sister are all wearing shoes, obviously. I'm barefoot because of doctor's orders. But also, you know, it's delightful, too, to be barefoot. Well, my brother, who's only 3 years old at the time, had a very limited vocabulary. He was sitting in the back seat. He noticed that, somebody's feet are bare, but he didn't know the word was barefoot. So all he could say was, feet. I mean,
that is
today
crazy.
He's an attorney. He's a practicing attorney today.
He
went to law school, got a law degree. He's a practicing attorney today. But, it's just ironic that way back then, he had a very limited vocabulary.
Yeah, and now he's a lawyer. Dean, we thank you so much for joining us today, and and we hope that you would join us again in the future. Thanks for calling.
Oh, yes, the pleasure
Thanks,
was mine.
Thanks, Dean.
Thank you.
Thank you
yeah,
for
Yeah, we really
Hawaiian
appreciate
name.
Your – yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, we appreciate your story and your insight. It's been wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Please call back again.
Okay. Aloha.
Awesome.
Yeah. All right. So do we have any time to squeeze in some time for to talk about the documentary?
Yeah.
Documentary, yay!
All right, come on, Nick. You got the floor.
Oh, yeah. Okay. This is going to be a great project, and it's pretty much going to be a TV documentary. We're shooting it. We're hoping it's onto a national, national cable network. I work with quite a few, so it's just a matter of getting this project together and getting it out there, pitching it, and getting it picked up. On the documentary, first of all, you can go to barefoottvshow.com is the portal or website for if you want to check it out, what it's about, what we're looking for, and how to submit content. We're looking for all different things. Definitely that website is the best way to find out a lot more about the project and ways to submit your content. So, again, that's barefoottvshow.com. On the documentary, we're going to be showing the health benefits of barefooting. We want to explore the legal side and the myths surrounding being barefoot in public. We want to do a lot of interviews with those involved in the culture and why they're involved in the culture, as well as look into that, the objections that people come up with against it, people that are against it and why they are. And we really want to address discrimination and the legal rights that barefooters have. And that's really the bottom line of the documentary and the overall message we want to the viewers to leave with.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Yeah, that's good.
I suggest everybody do find that because you even have been posting. I've shared it. All of us just, as hosts, we should share it too and get, reach out to all of our friends as well because it can just go crazy if we all just, share it.
And especially putting it in front of the main, media and the big public platform. Right now there's no fundraising links that are active yet. That's something we're looking on. For the most part, me and my company, we're contributing a great deal to this to make it happen. As well as my staff has been great at supporting it. Everybody from my web team to my line producers to everybody that I work with on a daily basis. We just take our free time and it's something that we're kind of doing on the side that we're all very excited about. And being able to get this thing out and do something like that for Barefoot is Legal and all the other barefooters out there, it'd be a great thing. And,
I'm really excited
definitely
about it. Are we supposed to film, or have someone film us going into places or, going about our daily routine and all that? Well, Can you give us a brief overview of what you guys are looking for, so our listeners know?
Oh, of course. When you go into on the website again, that's barefoottvshow.com. There's a link there on the side panel to submit content. We're looking for barefooters that want to share their stories. We're looking for everything from barefoot-friendly establishments that may want to be, mentioned or looked at, as well as people that are not barefooters but do support, the non-discrimination, support the freedom and the rights of a barefooter. And also a different point of view of people that are against it. We're looking for all different things. There's also different topics that we just need research done on. Research such as you can go on there if you have free time, if you're not one that walks around with a camera. I mean, we'd love to have people's encounters. We'd love to have people in action. We'd like to have people, enjoying their daily lives as a barefooter. With resistance, without resistance, whatever the case may be. In the day of cell phones now, it is so easy to just make your own video and just post it.
Right.
And if you want to share it, there's a release form if you want to share it with us. There's an email address to send the file to. You can also instructions on how to post it to YouTube. And even just in the different research projects of, things we're looking for, like medical research about being barefoot, damage that shoes cause to the body, mental conditions that are, treated or helped by being barefoot. If anybody has any research or any ideas on that, as well as like injuries and auto accidents that have been caused by shoes, even just fun little projects that you can do, with research, such as like how much bacteria can be found in a pair of worn shoes versus the barefoot and like other objects that you come in contact with, like toilets, cell phones, and you know,
oh, that
your
would
clothing.
Be great.
I
really wish I could actually do the experiments myself, because that would be amazing.
Yeah.
I would love
to take swabs and petri dishes
and gross and stuff. I would love to find out what's growing in my girlfriend's combat boots.
Exactly.
Oh, gosh.
Exactly. Chicken boots. Ew.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
How about I still love Katmer's the going into the grocery store handstand and picking out his produce with his bare feet.
That's
automatically what they assume is going to happen when they walk in their bare feet.
Well, you know, Katmer's with that thing, he has inspired me to. Start learning how to do handstands, so maybe that I can one day do that.
Wouldn't that be so funny if we did do a big staff for the documentary? We might have to have Katmer do it for the documentary.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
We will.
Yeah, so I can just see it now. I'm walking on his hands over to the produce and picking out an apple and rolling it around in his feet and... No, this one's not good.
Excuse me, sir, you can't do that.
It's not right.
That's not what we're trying to portray. I understand that, but we're making funny.
But it is serious, you know, obviously. But come on, guys, comic relief is necessary because it's just, you know, we hit a lot of serious points and we got to make light of it because
More than likely, what I'm going to end up doing is I'll get my my Veterans Affairs mental health counselor to chime in because whenever I use their services, I do it sans shoes, and I mean, like, I don't even bother with the flip flops, but even he would tell you how how important it is, at least for myself, because I can only talk about myself. Concerning, grounding. And yes, grounding even in the big city. So that would be important. Mm-hmm.
And that's great. Yeah. Having medical experts involved with the projects that are not afraid to go on camera, want to put their name on it, that you want to sit and interview, ask a few questions, and we're going to have some questions that we're going to post.
That's great.
If it's just a guideline to help you. We already have questions up for if barefooters want to submit a interview that they do themselves. They can shoot it with their cell phone. We can pretty much convert your files into a broadcast usable video file. The higher the resolution, the better. I just want to throw that out there. It just makes it easier in editing. And it just looks
great. Yeah.
Overall. But not everybody has access to like a camera crew and high definition cameras.
Right.
And I've been in touch with a member already that we're going to send a camera crew up there to follow them around for a week in their life and get
Holy
their point
moly.
Of view. And
so
if we can
excellent.
Find someone that has, like access to stuff like that, that'd be great if they're able to do that. If they, have someone that, even just has like an SLR camera that has the video function that they can shoot in high resolution, high def, that'd be great as well. If you have someone that's a photographer that can do that and you want to tell your story, the more content we have, the better. We want to try to split it up into four different areas where we're following one person because of personal choice, one person because of medical, one person because of religious, and one person, who knows? We'll figure out that fourth category. Really, the project's still so young.
Do you have an actual rollout time for it, Nick, or is it just it's still just in the works? Is there any rollout date time or?
Yeah, we want to have everything done by March. We can have an edit copy to pitch to broadcast by March, that'd be great. I know that sometimes that's a tentative date. And it's just because of the timing, because we want to just be able to work through the summer, get any final B-roll clips, as we call it, just like different images that we may want to fill in areas. things that come up in the documentary. You want to have the summer where most people are out and barefoot, as well as shoot through the winter with some hardcore barefooters that are barefoot all winter. But then we don't want to necessarily do a release in the summer. We want to try to put this on a good spot sometime in the fall, to winter season, or even the following spring. And there's different reasons for that as far as timing and you know, based on the project and how it may roll out, that we just got to keep in mind. So there's also a lot of behind the scenes things that happen with that. And there's reasons for that. So if we can have all the content submitted by March, and I know it sounds like such a long way away, but trust me, everybody's going to start doing their Christmas shopping as soon as the Halloween decorations are in the shop on Labor Day. So that's just the way it rolls.
A lot behind the scenes, a lot of work. But
but it's really exciting, and I think it's wonderful. And I am very happy to be a part of this team. And as far as the documentary goes and the radio show and my wonderful crew here.
Speaking of behind-the-scenes work, we got Nick Deutschman on with us.
Yeah.
Here for the legal girl.
I was doing something else, and then, I heard my name.
We only have a couple of minutes left. But we wanted to definitely say hello to you.
What? I just heard that Nick is like a fabulous name.
It is.
There's three of us so far, by the way. There's three of us.
I love it. Hey, I know you guys only have like a couple of minutes, but I wanted to get in and let you guys know I am all caught up on all of the Barefoot is Legal complaints that have come into the website.
Yay! Good job, Nick.
Yeah.
So
oh my gosh.
Yep.
You do an amazing job.
What's that?
I said you do an amazing job with everything behind, you know, like you're talking about behind the scenes of things. You do all these letters to companies and things, and what you do is just wonderful and it's appreciated. And I think it helps to also give a little bit more courage to others who are not so, you know, not really good with confrontation, kind of like me, but what you've done is gave us some really good tools to use, and I really appreciate that, and I'm sure that other people do too.
We all do, yeah.
You guys are so welcome, and no, I thank you for allowing me to be a part of this, and you guys are doing so wonderful on the radio show. I'm super excited about the documentary. You guys are going to, like, convert Georgia. It's just awesome to watch this all going on down there.
We're the Georgia chapter. Woohoo!
Love it.
It's great.
I wanted to ask you, the last show we were talking about, you know, we were working with trying to get in with Dollar General. Do you have any updates or anything like that? Because I know here in Ellijay, Georgia, after I've been in and out, you know, a Dollar General in town. Now they have this big tacky sign up that's like, no shoes. You know, you must have shoes. So where
I have
you
that at my Dollar General, too.
I haven't gotten any response from Dollar General. And one of the problems that I've been running into is actually being able to contact someone who has some form of authority inside these companies. Most of the time when I reach out to these companies, I can either I can only Facebook message them on some of the bigger corporations. You end up getting like their customer service care. It's so difficult to get, like, you know, I want Bill Nelson at Dollar General, who is, you know, in an HR department or a department of some kind of authority, to say, instead of, you know, you got the minion at the store. And then I also think you've got a lot of the minions at the corporate headquarters who just put out a corporate response back to us. And bump us up the ladder a couple rungs, and that would be nice to be able to talk to that person.
Mm-hmm. Right. Nick, well, I have some names over there, and I'll share them with you off the air because we're out of time.
Yeah.
I've actually seen contacts from
Thank you, everybody, for a wonderful show, and we look forward to talking to you next week.
Bye, guys.
Welcome.
Log into barefootislegal.org and find us also on Facebook.
All right, you guys.
Hey, guys.
Good show.
Yeah.
And if Nick is still there,